us as we break down the latest news stories and race events from the three biggest divisions in motorsports.
Into the wall, then into the two. The two goes around. The cars are going to come out.
The Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Will Joey Logano repeat?
A drag race, they're sideways, and it's going to be Logano getting the win.
Or will someone else take claim on being the next champion? It's time for the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
Y'all know what time it is. It's time once again for the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast from the Manhattan, Kansas area. My name is Eddie Greer III, a.k.a. EG3. One more time, the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast back on the airwaves. We're all about the latest in the world of NASCAR. For those of you tuning in, downloading this podcast for the very first time, this podcast is all about, obviously, NASCAR, Gander Outdoor Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three base divisions, all of motorsports, and it is Tuesday night, June 11th, here in the Midwest, and y'all know what time it is. It is the post-race edition of the podcast between Texas and Michigan. Let's not waste any time, Big D, as he joins me here in the EG3 garage here, where 30 minutes, 45 minutes ago, it was dark clouds around here, forming around here, a little bit of thunderstorms we dealt with for, really, it was a quick one actually, but everything's okay here as we're recording a podcast now, obviously here. This will be out we're shooting for Thursday, where we'll get down to, obviously, NBA Finals, what took place last night, but a jam-packed episode tonight. Let's get right on into it, and we're going to do the same thing what we did last week. We're going to start, actually, with what took place yesterday in the Cup Series race, the Firekeepers Casino 400, and I got to tell you, man, there are a lot of, I got to say, frustrated people on Twitter. There's frustrated people that I've texted with, and once again, the package is at least coming into this mini stretch here. We've saw some good momentum from the 19 package, aka 2019 package, with the less downforce, whatever you want to call it. But last couple weeks, obviously, Pocono, Michigan, even yesterday's race, there wasn't really much action, even in overtime there's a lot of controversy with the restart. I had a chance to at least watch that. I did watch most of the race in a course I recorded with our special guest, which that's going to be up later this week as well. Get more on that in the latter half of the podcast tonight. But, man, the fact of art is the key word, or really the, if you want to take it a step further, the drinking word of the night is the, or a combination of words, is the lack of passing that we have seen in the last couple of weeks. And look, you know I'm going to tell it like it is, so I'm going to tell it straight up. Last 2 weeks, we've not seen very much accident. Yeah, of course, last week, Pocono, Kyle Busch complained about the package, even though he won the race last week. And then here yesterday, Joey Logano, master performance, the reigning champion of the Cup Series, put the smackdown on him with, of course, help from, of course, awesome spotter TJ Majors up there doing his thing. Joey credited the win to TJ Majors, and what a job he did. But obviously, DW talked about his race car yesterday and how it was very hooked up in the racetrack while other people were struggling to pass. And obviously, this has been the pattern, ladies and gentlemen, of Michigan since they repaved that track. Lack of passing, especially on the restarts, where if you're not on the inside lane, you're screwed. Pretty much straight up let's just count what it is. I mean, you get high lane choice, you're in good shape. If you don't, you're going to struggle. We saw it time and time again. But once it got strung out a little bit, you didn't see really much passing, really. I mean, it just like Pocono, really, in my opinion. Pocono, same thing. Restarts were key in that. And if you did not get off to a good restart, you were pretty much out to lunch pretty much. And here, you might as well take it a step further. You're out to dinner pretty much here. The lack of passion that we saw yesterday. I mean, a couple cars were able to pass. One was the four car of Kevin Harvick, which their mysterious winless season continues. More on that in just a bit. Logano fell back a little bit in this race, but he came up through the field, was able to hold off Kurt Busch, and once again, in one of the more hot rivalries on track in the sport currently, the 19 of Martin Truex Jr. came home in third, yes, last night at Michigan. Joey Logano scoring win number two of the year. More playoff points for him. He won stage one. The other went to Austin Dillon, winning stage two. Later in the race, that three car tagged the wall yet again. We will find him in a full rundown in just a moment. But yep, he was one of the cars. Kyle Busch had a quiet afternoon. And yet somehow found himself in the top 10. Up in the top 10 was all said and done. So yeah, very, winning last week, Kyle Busch, and then really uncharacteristic afternoon. They unloaded on the wrong side of the fence, and yet towards the end of the race, Kyle Busch once again finishes not only inside the top 10, but top 5 for like 18 cars. So I mean, what it is, Clint Bowyer, defending winner of this race, which I sadly picked for lap traffic, and fantasy really kind of killed me, pretty much costly there. Had a great weekend in that department up until yesterday. Clint Bowyer smacked the wall, trying to get out of three wide, no pun intended there. Erik Jones, and once again, Erik Jones was right there in Clint Bowyer's vision. Couldn't hold it. I believe Austin Dillon was part of that mix too. I can't remember 100% sure about that, Big D. But Bowyer tacks the wall, kills the back end of the race car. Pretty much done. And I was pretty much what my boss said earlier, using the term effed, pretty much. And that pretty much effed me too. But even though I had a 100-point week in that area, I lost critical spots though. But it's better than it was the first segment around. So I'm right there where I want to be. But I wish I had at 20 to 30 points. That's why I told you, Big Day, yesterday. All I needed was probably 30 points around there, and I would probably be in better shape. But anyways, I'll take it with a grain of salt there. Hopefully make those points up in Iowa coming up. And that's going to be a big weekend. We got Father's Day weekend coming up there. I know I'm bouncing all over the place between lap track fantasy and the cup race. But there's really not much action, put it wise. I mean, in Michigan, back in the heyday, you used to see cars all over this racetrack before they stupidly repaved this racetrack. And since then, We ain't seen shit. I mean, definitely in the last 2 weeks, you had momentum. Coke 600, Kansas, and even before Kansas also. But All-Star Race had some momentum there also. So all that, and then you had two duds with it, with Pocono and Michigan. And you probably will wonder, yes, I'm glad that they're moving that doubleheader next year, which I am shooting at to go to, unless other things all of a sudden pop up on the screen on the family side of things. But I mean, Pocono, Michigan, I mean, yes, and for those of you who are wondering why we're talking about Michigan yesterday, because weather played havoc on Sunday with this race. They tried everything, and rain played a huge factor, obviously, with it being postponed, being moved to Monday, which is yesterday. So anything but for, you know, the action, the package, whatever, and hoping for a good race, and it was not. I voted on Jeff Gluck's poll this during lunch, voted no. So yeah, I'm being straight up honest with you, did not see. And somebody tried to compare Joey Logano's yesterday dominant performance with I mean being the dominant, I believe it was Jeff Gluck actually, who said boy, we see a dominant performance. Well, yeah, I disagree with that. I mean, it's not kind of Kyle Busch in Charlotte, not the Martin Truex Jr. a few couple years ago at that same racetrack, Coke 600. And then, you might as well, that's not even close to what we saw with Joey's teammate Brad Keselowski earlier this year, where he put a spanking on the field at Martinsville, leading 446 laps. So again, chalk this one up. And even that race, to me, we saw a lot more action over there in Virginia than we saw at Michigan. So something they should never pay this racetrack. Michigan was a fun racetrack, had cars all over the racetrack, low, middle, high groove. Yeah, and of course you had. I loved it when drivers go up again, ride the wall, get some momentum off of turn two, off of turn four, carry that momentum. And with this little different down package here, I mean, if you let off the throttle, you were pretty much screwed, and you were gonna get passed. And a couple of those cars were able to pass. Logano was strong. We saw Kyle Larson was able to pass a few people yesterday. And the four car, but I want to touch back on this restart here real quick. You're listening to 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3, bringing out post-race action from Michigan. And of course, second half of the show, oh yeah, we will break down Texas Kent Gaynor Outdoor, I'm going to say Craftsman Gaynor Outdoor Truck Series, where an upset in my book happened on last Friday night. But the restart, I had a chance to look at it. Yes, folks, I did look at it from a couple different angles, including a fans who posted it, while somebody like a fans post of the restart. And obviously, yes, I have a feed full of Martin Truex Jr. fans and friends on there, so a lot of people were not happy with it. And of course, people making fun of Martin Truex Jr., complaining all this about that. He was not the only one complaining about the restart. And MTJ and a couple other cars, I believe Kurt Busch was a part of that as well. And I gotta agree with it. I mean, straight up, you want me to lie about it? Straight up, Joey Logano. I mean, we had a TV turned down because we had our special guest. We recorded our special guest interview, which will be up later this week as well. We had a TV turned down, so we could not hear what was going on. And I didn't pay attention to the restart. Obviously, it was the TV was focused, obviously, with the cars coming off of turn four, beginning with that overtime stretch there. And then a good vantage point there with a fan caught a good view of the restart there. And clearly, Joey Logano got the jump there on Truex, who was the second place car. It was him or Kurt Busch. Cannot remember. I'm pretty sure it was Martin Truex Jr. there who was, well, either way though, anyways, Joey Logano jumped the restart there and got away with one right there. It seems like, you know, now the people in charge of these races, you know, say, you know, and I don't know what the broadcast said because I had no idea what happened, what was said, what was talked about, but obviously, clearly, a lot of fans pissed or mad, you want to put it, about the restart. And clearly, yeah, Joey Logano, he had a heck of a restart there. And yeah, he's one of those guys that loves restarts, and you gave one right to him there. And wish the caution did not come out right there. Erik Jones, rough afternoon at his home track there. Contact with Bowyer earlier in the race, and then spun out there by himself late in the race to bring out the final caution of the afternoon there. So, and there's been a lot of rumors around Erik Jones between he, Christopher Bell, or a new contract, whatever that deal is. I've read that here as of late. So there's a venture situation right there. But yeah, clearly though, the fan, I like that view. The fan had a perfect view of this restart, and it looked like to me, yeah, 22 got early start right there and got away with one, but didn't get away with it. Was a dominant car, 161 laps led in this race here. 22 was untouchable again at IMS. And the bigger story here coming out of here, folks, Stuart Haas Racing continues to be winless. Clint Bowyer, I mentioned him, cost me in lap traffic fantasy. And getting out early, Daniel Suarez still had a great afternoon, finishing well inside the top five. Unloaded fast. Kevin Harvick, one of the couple cars were able to pass. Once again, not able to race up front. And I was looking after the final pit stop cycled. I was looking for his name there on the Fox Sports sticker there. He was nowhere to be found up near where Martin Truex Jr. and Joey Logano were at. Why? Because Ronnie Childers, Kevin's crew chief, called him for four tires, which it did not work out, obviously. And Kevin Harvick afterwards, you can see it, you can read the facial expression right there, obviously, when he's happy and when he's not happy. And Scales said it right there. He was pissed off that he did not like the call there, going four tires, and he was able to get back inside the top 10 there. But we wonder what if the four car had what it takes once again. This is the second time, it's the second week in a row, late in the late stages of the cup race, that the four cars had opportunity to probably dethrone the best car in the field. Last week at Pocono, Kevin Harvick beat out the 18 on the last green flag cycle, not only to be brought back by pit road mistake yesterday in the Fire Casino 400. What happens here? Well, Ronnie Childers says, hey, championship crew chief that he is with Harvick, we'll just go four tires and see if we can pass through the field. He did that, but only got up into the top 10. And Kevin Harvick said, I don't know what to do. All I do is drive, whatnot. I'm not in charge of the call. And you can read his facial expression right there. He looked like he wanted to go find somebody after racetrack and beat the hell out of somebody. But everybody's talking about it, including us included. The four car, everybody's waiting, picking him every week to win. That has not happened. We have an off week, obviously, this week for the Cup Series, while the Xfinity and Truck Series will be racing this weekend over at Iowa Speedway this weekend during Father's Day weekend. The Cup Series will not be back until 2 weeks, or I should say less than 2 weeks, really, at Sonoma, California, Kevin's home state, where obviously he's won very well there. And of course, you got to go back to where Cole Pearn outfoxed Ronnie Childers 1 year ago at that racetrack to score a huge victory there over the four car there. So another missed opportunity. And just go back to the present time there. You got a fast race car and you make mistakes with it. Yeah, it's going to take your toll. And believe me, when you say it, it is starting to take its toll right now. No victories at all, even though Suarez unloaded fast. Bowyer unloaded fast as well, but he had trouble yesterday. And the other car, which we have not mentioned, Eric Almirola had a speeding penalty. He sped through too many boxes. And at the looks of it, he only came back here looking for his name on a rundown sheet here in the 10 car. Big D's working on it. Don't particularly. Here he is in the 17th position. Eric Almirola did so. All over the board for Stuart Haas Racing. And this off week, while a lot of drivers, cup drivers anyways, going on vacation, Stuart Haas Racing is going to have to find the answers sooner or later. Yes, we know the whole world knows that Stuart Haas Racing has speed to win races. We know that. But the lack of execution is on top of the board on why this organization is not winning races this year. And again, I mean, you can't fault the call here. Four tires, I mean, you got to do something different. Everybody else took two. Legato leaders took two. And I would have thought, yeah, Ronnie Childers, Kevin Harvick, you have the fastest race car that probably can pass the 22 car. 22 was able to pass. The 4 was able to pass. The 18 was able to pass late in this race. The one car, Kurt Busch, was up there mixing it up late in this race as well. Those were some of the cars were able to pass. Martin Truex Jr. was up there in the mix as well. So those are the cars that were able to pass. Kyle Larson was able to pass also early he faded late in this race here. So, I don't know. You know, hopefully, when the Monster Energy Cup Series returns to California, obviously, we're going to be going road course racing here. So, probably, it's a good thing that we're not on an oval right now. At least on a cup side, anyways. And Sonoma has produced some pretty good drama here over the last couple years. And I'm definitely looking forward to that race. But yeah, the four car once again coming up on the short end of the stick. You're listening to 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Post race edition of the podcast. Eddie Gritter III here with you guys tonight. Running down the top 10 here. A little bit different tonight. With Joey Logano winning the race yesterday, and it was confirmed by Big D. Yes, he led 163 laps right there out of the 203. Of course, that included an overtime finish, by the way, for Joey Logano. Kurt Busch finished second, Martin Truex Jr. third, Daniel Suarez fourth, Kyle Busch fifth, Brad Keselowski sixth, rallying back after being a lap down in his race. Harvick, 7th, no win yet. Ryan Newman in the 8th spot right there. Ryan Newman was racing yesterday, and he did a good job. Ryan Blaney, 9th. Alex Bowman, your top 10 right there. Some notables here for you guys real quick here. Denny Hamlin finished 11th spot. Kyle Larson, 14th. Jimmy Johnson, 15th. Chris Buescher scored stage points in this race. He came back to finish 16th. William Byron finished 18th. Chase Elliott, 20th. So, not a good afternoon for Harriet Motorsports. You're talking about Stuart Racing. Harriet Motorsports, she turned the corner a little bit. Not here in this case, at least not yesterday. Highest finishing 100 car, Alex Bowman in the 10th position there. Austin Dillon, who won stage 2, finished 3rd. Clint Bowyer, 35th, and you got to go back to Eric Jones, who brought that last caution, 31st on the list. So not exactly a full rundown here tonight. A little bit different plans in the books for the cup race here, and the next race, as I mentioned, in 2 weeks in California, it is Fox season finale, and of course Darrell Waltrip's final broadcast June 23rd on FS1. PRN will have coverage in a couple of weeks. Coming off of Father's Day weekend, there, Darrell Waltrip, last broadcast there for the Fox networks there. That will be a scene right there, and we'll see. I would be shocked if we don't see any passing on the road course. Obviously, they're bringing the carousel back over there. That is going to draw some interest right there. But like I said, these road courses bring a lot of more excitement, at least over the past few years, being a lot more excited about road course racing than I've ever been before. And I expect the Sonoma race to produce just that. 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 rolls along here. Turn the page to the Xfinity Series, where Tyler Reck, fourth quarter, closed out Christopher Bell, Cole Custer, and the rest of the field at Michigan, scoring the victory there. And strategy, speaking of strategy, ladies and gentlemen, strategy played a huge factor in this race as well. Tyler Reck goes on to win the race. Meanwhile, few strategy did come into play here. Like I've always talked about when coming to Michigan, you know it's going to happen at some point. Few strategy is going to play a factor somewhere in the mix, and it did right here toward the end of this race. I believe the final caution came out. I can't remember the lap number, but last caution of this race came out. Tyler Reddick pitted along with several others, and Christopher Bell stayed out. Meanwhile, Cole Custer got word over the radio saying, do what the 20 does, and ends up staying out with him. And it kind of basically cost them, even though they did score stage points throughout this race, they'll cost them at the end. And Bell actually had a winning race car. Tyler Reddick, he had a fast race car as well. Moved his car wherever he wanted to go. But the strategy played to Tyler Reddick. Tyler Reddick missed an opportunity last week to steal a victory from Cole Custer. Couldn't do that, but he outfoxed Bell and Cole Custer here. Part of that big 3-2 victory lane. Tyler Reddick, third win of the year, only leading the final 11 laps en route to that victory right there. And your second place winner here, your second place finisher here, Noah Gregson, getting it done for Junior Motorsports. Look like that. This nine car starting to turn the corner a little bit with some momentum going to Iowa this weekend. And this interesting track for Noah Gregson. Obviously, he ran there in the trucks. So turned the corner here, and he said, quote, he wanted to beat that damn, his words, not mine. He wanted to beat that damn two car in Tyler Reddick. But he's also, he can't focus on one car, though. You got to focus on Christopher Bell and try and beat that double zero of Cole Custer as well. So I know Noah Gregson, he wanted it, and he got a late, serious charge late there, but could not catch Tyler Reddick there, who easily crossed the start finish line first to get job done. But your third place finisher, Michael Annette, continues to be solid week after week after week, and he's going home to Iowa. And you know, Junior Motorsports runs well there. Last time we were there at this very point last year, Justin Allgaier had the dominant car and walked the victory lane a year ago. And Annette, if you're Michael Annette right now, you got to be pumped up for an opportunity. Not only you got Big D, not only that you got good equipment, or I could say big time equipment with Junior Motorsports, but you've been running solidly, constantly in the top 10 in these races. And I gotta tell you, man, Michael Annette is gonna be somebody to watch this weekend over there. He and Noah Gregson, two teammates for Junior Motorsports. Paul Menard had a fast car, part of that Cup Series. Interesting entry here. One stage one, leading 56 laps. And you have the other Junior Motorsports car here. And speaking of Allgaier finished in the fifth spot. Vernon Jones, Riley's finished sixth. Then you have Chase Briscoe, Johan Nemechek, Jeb Burton at one point or another had an issue with Tyler Reddick this weekend. Not once, but twice. There, Jeb Burton spun early in this race because apparently Reddick has something to do with jumping right in front of him on the backstretch, causing Jeb Burton to spin out there, and Jeb was not happy with that. But Jeb Burton coming home in at 8, Junior Motorsports. So Junior Motorsports, actually, all the cars finishing in the top 10 there, and actually, I have a stat on that, which I will bring up here in the second half of this podcast. Justin Haley, your 10th place finisher. Some notables here. Well, I have the Xfinity Series up here on our television screen. Austin Cindric, 11th. Cole Custer, 12th. Christopher Bell, 13th. Here, Ryan Sieg finished in the 17th position down here. And that's pretty much it. Yeah, so everybody else did what they usually do right there. So Tyler Reddick, the big three, continues to move on. And there was a stat in the middle of this race, the big three now in the stretch run that goes really back to Christopher Bell. Maybe even after Christopher Bell's win at Bristol, this trio has led over 520 laps and change now for this big three. Cole Custer winning last week. Reddick wins over the weekend. Who will win at Iowa? That's the next race for the Xfinity Series race. This is on Father's Day at Iowa Speedway. That is next on the list here as Big D is pulling that up right now. Yes, sir. The CircuitCity.com 250, June 16th. That is on Father's Day. 5:30 Eastern Time. That's 4:30 Central Time start here in the Midwest. FS1 has coverage of that. And MRN will have coverage over the radio if you guys can't able to listen. Just to check, double check it real quick, just to be sure. Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah. So I didn't want to give false information. Yes, Father's Day is, well, has always been on Sunday, and yes, it is confirmed on Father's Day there. Late Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon racing for dads all across America. We'll see if the big three continues to their dominance here, or will somebody else break through and challenge the big three in the Xfinity series? That's going to be a good show right there. Before we take our break here, intermission here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast, thank you guys for tuning in for tonight's broadcast. Of course, social media timeout here while we get things squared away. You can follow me at EG3_FastEddie. You can do that at EG3_FastEddie. And of course, you can find the 3Wide NASCAR podcast wherever you get your podcast or download your podcast. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts. Y'all know what it is. iTunes, Deezer, CastBox. We're almost everywhere. Wherever you find it, 3Wide NASCAR podcast, just type in 3Wide EG3 and you should find it right there. And we're still, I shouldn't say still, it's the wrong word, in the giveaway. We're doing our first ever giveaway, and this involves rating and reviewing on iTunes. Ratings, we would like 50 ratings on iTunes, 10 reviews on iTunes, and we will unlock the giveaway, which will be 2 diecasts. And we're not, as according to Big D, we're not deep into the ratings comment ratings yet to unveil the 2 diecast. So all y'all, in order to do that, y'all need to do some marketing out there and spread the word about the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. Get on board with the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Download it. Add it to your weekly dose of sports podcasts across America. And I am so thankful and blessed to be a part of the NASCAR family, podcast family, a podcast that is going on right now. Everybody's producing wonderful content. PE10 podcast, obviously the Lap Track podcast coming off of Michigan over the weekend. They've done, Brandon Crowd doing some good things there. The Final Lap Weekly, of course, our friends from the Loose Lugs podcast. Looking forward to be back on the program in this fall. And I might be forgetting one others, but that's all I can think of right now. Anyway, so definitely 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Get on board. If you're a first-time listener, please tell your friends about the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Y'all know what it is. Get on it. You don't want to miss a moment, big-time moment, on this podcast. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are overdue for an intermission. We're going to take it right now. And, of course, when we come back, or I come back on the podcast, Greg Biffle bringing it home, the checkered flag for Kyle Busch Motorsports. Biggest news story of the week. 3Wide NASCAR podcast rolls on.
Quick pit stop. The 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
The 3Wide NASCAR podcast rolling along on this Tuesday night. EG3, Eddie Griffin III, here with the guys tonight. for this post-race edition of the podcast, Breaking Down Michigan, and we're about to break in the Gator Outdoor Truck Series that took place in the Lone Star State at Texas last Friday night. The 3 Wide NASCAR podcast, all about the latest in the world of NASCAR. Joey Logano, Thames, Michigan, a dominant performance, 163 laps en route, the reigning champ, win number 2 of the 2019 campaign. Greg Biffle, Upset City in Texas Motor Speedway, holding off Matt Crafton and scoring a victory. This was his first NASCAR national start going back a few years ago in 2016, in his first race back in the trucks going all the way back, Big D, to 2004. Greg Biffle doing it at Texas, where he's had success before, but not with a different surface, obviously, for Greg Biffle. But Greg Biffle, well, this wasn't his first time actually on this track. He was scuffing tires a few weeks ago in the first meeting at Texas for In the Gator Outdoor Truck Series, where, of course, there was a race that happened right there. But Greg Biffle to do what he did, and also does help a little bit that you have good race cars and you're able to get up on the wheel like Greg Biffle did and win the race. He started inside the top 10 this race, and he was a factor throughout it. And maybe he didn't make noise in the first half of the race, but he was definitely in the mix late. And then this race overall, this truck race, whew, this was a, if you want to say a barn burner, that's probably maybe a little bit far out there, but this was crazy. One truck after another can't handle turn two at Texas Motor Speedway, the newly infurnished turn two, where it's flat. Coming out of turn two, we saw a lot of carnage in this truck race, Big D. And we watched this whole entire race, man. This thing was long because of all the caution flags. I believe it set a record for cautions, if I'm not mistaken. This was double digits, no doubt. I don't know exactly how many cautions to my mind at the moment. But, man, that this race had it all. Trouble on the racetrack. I mean, we had fierce racing. Of course, teammates battling out for stage one. Grant Infinger. And you had a cringe there when these guys are like door to door next to each other. I tell you, the truck series, they bring the best racing. And this was definitely up the best race of the weekend right here. When we talk about the truck series, they're Sauter, winner of stage one over Grant Infinger. And then Sauter had issue in this race here. He did not finish in the top 10 in this race. Todd Gillen, a lot of hungry hounds are surrounding KBM's young drivers. Todd Gillen, Harrison Burton, talked about it a little bit last week of how Kyle Busch called him out saying they ain't doing shit, and you cannot fault Todd Gillen in this instance here, at least not this week anyways. But Todd Gillen, he was up there. He even answered the bell, win the pole for this race here, and he had a fast car truck, and it looked like here for a moment he was going to possibly contend for the win, but unfortunately got loose off of four, and either off of four or off two, one of those corners, and tacked the wall. And actually, it was turn two. Yeah, well, come to think of it now, it was turn two, loose, could not save it. And he was leading in that restart there. So, Todd Gillen, and of course, there's a crew chief mix-up with Kyle Busch Motorsports involving that four truck right there. And then Harrison Burton quietly finishing the fifth. While Gillen was in the garage, Harrison Burton finishing the fifth spot. And then, to make even matters even worse, you see, you're in the garage while Greg Biffle, who ain't done nothing, been in hibernation for how long? We didn't know where this fool was until last year, fishing somewhere in the Pacific North. Year later, comes back, and shows you up, wins the race at Texas Motor Speedway. And I'd be lying if I said he was going to go out here and win. I had thought about it, but I didn't think he was going to win this race. Let me just put it out there. But I thought for sure he was going to contend for the win. That's for sure, but I didn't think he was going to go out actually and win the thing. But hey, when you're racing Kyle Busch stuff, hey, you gotta do what you gotta do. And Greg Biffle took full advantage of it. And this was part of the Triple Truck Challenge first race. Greg Biffle takes part of that money away from these guys. He's not even on the list, entry list, when I looked at it a couple hours ago for Iowa, which will be racing on Saturday night. Kicking off a doubleheader weekend in Iowa over there, so that's unfortunate. So I wish Kyle Busch would have left Greg Biff in there, see what he could have done in the Triple Truck Challenge there. Obviously, you win all three, you get like probably $500,000 there, so that's even more intriguing. But yeah, so you for the KBM stable of 4 and 18, yeah, and especially for Todd Gilliland, I mean, you gotta feel frustrated that a guy that ain't raced in a few years and ain't raced in forever in the truck series goes out there, holds off a truck champion in Matt Crafton. Matt Crafton finished in the second spot. You're listening to 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3, post-race edition of the podcast. But how about this cat, Tyler Ingram, who finished in the top 10 the first race at Texas. I believe it was a 6th or 7th place finish, somewhere in there. Big D's going to go to work on that. But Tyler Ingram, this guy, was creeping up there in the running order late. And he had a good car. Not good car. Good truck in this race here. So, Tyler Ingram to finish in the third spot here. That is the wrong race right there. Let's see. Losing it. There we go. Big D, first race at Texas where Tyler Ingram finished. That is third right there. We're looking for the, yeah, there we go. Where was Tyler Ingram? Yep. That's what I thought. Sixth place. Tyler Ingram, 6th. He doubles that. Now he finished in the third spot. Tyler Ingram, 3rd spot for the 17 bunch. That's big for them. So they obviously know how to get around here. And too bad Texas not on there for a 3rd straight race. Yeah, they're not on here again. So Texas is done for the truck series. Grant Infinger finished 4th. Harrison Burton, as I already mentioned, 5th. Grant Infinger led 44 laps in this race. Then you go to the second half of the page here to find Sheldon Creed, 6th. Brent Poole, he has put together a couple top 10 runs on mile and a half. We're going to a short track here at Iowa, if you want to call it that. Brendan Poole, 7th. Austin Hill rallied back from contact early in the race. Finished 8th. Corey Roper, where did this guy come from? Roper was a factor in this race and on different stretches in this race. Roper, 9th. And, of course, the bigger news, Ross Chastain, which I failed to finish off the news last week on the podcast. Ross Chastain declaring truck points. And he's going to be, he has 9-8 more races left to get inside the top 20. And not only that, you got to win a race to get yourself, propel yourself into the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series playoffs in 2019. So he passes up an opportunity to, and he was in striking distance, excuse me, he was in striking distance to get in the Xfinity Series. And according to the numbers on Race Hub podcast, last week, I believe it was 20-point margin out of 12th spot. He now throws that all away, even though he still competes in the series, by the way, and goes for points in the truck series. And he is going to need not only to finish top 10 each and every from here on out, he's going to have to get stage points. That's the aquarium right here for Ross Chastain. Big challenge accepted for this guy. And if you're wondering about that win at Kansas a few weeks ago, take that off the board. That's not going to count. He's going to have to earn it now as a truck series regular. Now, back then, a few weeks ago, he was not a truck regular, which he's raced. He should have did that in the beginning of the year. If you're going to, if you're going to have a truck team, and maybe he did not know, this is going to have a very competitive truck team on his hands. I believe Ross is driving a different number this weekend. I believe it's the 44. The last time I checked the entry list for the Again Outdoor Truck Series race out at Iowa. So, Ross Chastain, he's going to have work cut out for him to do, but he earned, according to the finisher's list, 38 points. Got some work to do in that department, and can he get it done? Can he win a race? Obviously, that the questions already say, you know, he's a fierce driver, and he's going to get it done. Won in the Xfinity last year. He already shown that he can win in the truck, so why not do it again? Prove yourself you can win, but you're going to have, you can't have no mistakes. That's the key here in this short time frame for Ross Chastain. You have to get, as I said, get top 10s, and maybe not even that. You got to be up there getting stage points and probably stage wins. We've seen him mixing up with the leaders time and time again this year, and he made the right decision. Hey, you know, why not? We have a competitive race team right now. We know we can win the races. Proven Kansas. We saw it live with our own eyes how Ross Chastain raced out there and how he closed the deal out there. And there's no question Ross Chastain and this team, they're going to be motivated to go out there and do just that. We'll see. Big challenge there for Ross Chastain in that organization for Nice Motorsports. Some notables here real quick. Brett Moffitt finished 11th here. Johnny Sauter, 13th after winning stage one here. Jordan Anderson up in the mix in this race. Also, it was good to see that three truck, but he fell like a rock. But he did finish in the 15th spot. Stuart Friesen went to a backup in this weekend. Stuart Friesen only to finish in the 20th position. Ben Rhodes was up there at a point of another time, 21st. EG, a 3 alum, Natalie Decker finished in a 22nd spot. Got caught up in, unfortunately, somebody else's mess yet again. So her kind of going to school in the trucks continues there, unfortunately. But finishing in a 22nd spot. Todd Gillen, your pole sitter for this race, ends up in the 27th position right there. We take a look at the Again Outdoor Truck Series. Before we do that, the M&M's 200 presented by Casey's General Store. This Saturday night, 7:30 local time on FS1. MRN doing both the coverage of the trucks in the Xfinity Series this weekend. Cut Boys off doing their own thing. Vacation time for them. They'll be back, as I said, next weekend at first road course race of the year at Sonoma Raceway. Now, to the standings now of the Again Outdoor Truck Series and where everybody sits there right now. You can switch it to the playoffs. There you go, Big D. So there you have it right there. So in bold right now, Johnny Sauter, Austin Hill locked in on wins. Sauter at Dover, Austin Hill all the way back to Daytona. Grant Emminger obviously leads it right now. Stuart Friesen, 75 above the cutoff. Matt Crafton, Brett Moffitt, Ben Rhodes, Harrison Burton, right there to his, and sitting on the outside looking in, Ty Gillen over there, 26. So you talk about all the hungry hounds surrounding this organization on Kyle Busch, not happy that this organization ain't winning races because these guys ain't doing what they're supposed to be doing. Woo! This is going to be even more interesting if one of these guys, if Ty Gillen wins a race, or even Harrison Burton wins a race. Ty Gillen, so on the outside, Sheldon Creed, next in line, Tyler Dipple, way back, Jordan Anderson, way back as well. And obviously, we don't see Ross Chastain even on this list, so work to do on that aspect right here. Taking a look at the Xfinity Series now, regular season-wise anyways, Tyler Reddick, big gap to Chris Rebell, 89, Cole Custer, Austin Cindric, Justin Allgaier, your top five. If you want to go to the plow board, you can do that right now. Obviously, in bold, you got the big three winning races at season season's pace. Michael Annette sitting there in sixth, your Daytona winner right there, and being awfully consistent there, and go to the cutoff line, and barring any bizarre, and I mean bizarre situation through the summer months, unless you get a crazy winner in one of the road course races, Brandon Jones is a sure lock. He should have no worries about, unless he gets up in the wall or gets in somebody else's mess. Brandon Jones, 85 to the next car is Gray Golding there. So Ross Chastain was a threat to Brandon Jones. Not anymore, since Ross Chastain won them truck points. Brandon Jones is in the clear, unless something crazy happens there in that aspect. And taking a look at the playoff picture for the Marshall Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Thank you for tuning in to the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, post-race edition of the podcast. Eddie Gray III here with you guys for a few more minutes tonight. Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, Keselowski, Truex, Hamlin, Chase Elliott, all highlighted in bold. I like what they did with this thing here with the leaders. And then, obviously, Kevin Harvick, the frustrated Harvick there, sitting there. And then let's just go to the cutoff line right here real quick for a minute, for a little bit. Whew. Jimmy Johnson, William Byron, Newman, our first one out, Eric Jones, spin off late. Eric Jones sitting outside playoff picture right now. Seven back. Newman closes the gap to three back. Menard, Stenhouse, Austin Dillon putting yourself in a deeper hole than you're already in. 58 back. And Byron, last one in. Jimmy Johnson, not too far off there. So, not out of woods. Clint Bowyer continues there. The gap continues to shrink right there. I don't know what in the world was that. So, but anyways, though, your regular season leader is Kyle Busch right now. And when you go to the original standings, Joey Logano now is your new regular season points leader by 9 over Kyle Busch into the off week. So, wow, so a lot going on, and we're going to have to start talking playoffs now because getting to that point of time, summer months, you got to get whatever point you can get except for the Xfinity Series, which it should be the walk in the park unless Brandon Jones decides to get in somebody else's mess like I talked about just a moment ago. So, everything, stages are set. Iowa, of course, this weekend. Looking forward to that. Unfortunately, I won't be able to go out there, but I've already started playing early. I made a late decision to not go this weekend, but it's in the works for late July. Hopefully, I can get out there for the Xfinity Series when it comes back in another month. So, I believe the IndyCar could be racing that at the time also. So, early plans are in the works now. So, I'm trying to figure stuff out if I can go out there, which that weekend is free for me. So, see what happens there. But this current state of time, Iowa's going to be a good weekend here, racing short track style out there. And yeah, so Iowa this weekend, like I said, set up for the meeting of time. So, Cup guys are off. Let's switch gears real quick and look at some other notes here real quick before we close the book here on a post-race edition of the podcast, EG3, 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Joseph Newgarden, IndyCar, wins at Texas, part of that doubleheader with the Truck Series. They're holding off Alexander Rossi. Newgarden scoring another win for Penske Racing. I do not have the finishing sheet in front of me. Joseph Newgarden scoring another win there in that aspect. And then F1, another controversial finish there with Sebastian Vettel there going out of the carousel. I have not seen replays of that, but according to everybody on my Twitter feed, that this call was ludicrous, and Lewis Hamilton based the fact of the 5-second penalty for Sebastian Vettel. Hamilton wins the Canadian Grand Prix, which to the unhappiness of Vettel in the winners, the podium circle there moves. His number two switches out to number one finisher stick. Hamilton had put it on his ear there. So definitely, yeah, he was pissed there Sebastian Vettel not getting the win there, and Max Verstappen finishing the top five. Did all he can do, not enough. Hamilton gets the win there, and once again, Hamilton cashes in on a mistake by another driver. So, I mean, it's unfortunate for Sebastian Vettel, but it is what it is. In my words now, you gotta just deal with it now and move on. And then everybody's talking about this. I want to end on this tonight. Haley Diggin, that girl. There goes that girl. Doing it. Second win of the 19 campaign. And doing so, this girl ain't playing around. I'm telling you. And doing it off teammate Derek Kraus. Knocking Kraus out of the way. Getting the victory. And Kraus spun off the front end of Haley Diggin's car up in Colorado. Haley Diggin scoring win number 3 in the K&N division there as well. Diggin, she's one of the fonder personalities of becoming in this NASCAR world right now. She's laugh. She's a fun. She looks to have fun every time off the track. But when you put her on the racetrack, She's all business. That's all I want to say. All business. And she is not, obviously, we don't have to tell you guys that, because she's not afraid to put the bumper to somebody, and she did it again. And not only to that somebody, it's her teammate. And this is not the first time, guys, that these two have had a history with one another. This goes back to last year, where these two make contact for a top 3 spot. So, I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do. I'm all for that. Hey, I got no problem with that. There are a lot of people, some people are questioning the motives of Haley Diggin. Come on now, this is what, I gotta tell you, this is what NASCAR needs right now. They need somebody or someone to come out here, win races, and show personality. And Haley Diggin is the pack. And this might be stuff. This might be bold. She's doing some work right now with Venturi Motorsports. Also getting a little deal with that as well. So she's doing that and doing her thing, trying to win a championship in the K&N division right now. That was her goal going in this year. Last year she wanted to win a race. She did that. Now she won one race already. Where, and really, when you really look at it, her 3 wins, she is 3 for 3. Batting 1,000. Why? She knocks somebody out of the way when the time is right. Well, obviously, because in a race, you're in a position to win. And Haley sees the opportunity, and she's going to take advantage of it. It's plain and simple. You got to do what you got to do. I just don't see it. I don't know what other people are thinking. But somebody's got to step up. And we talk about, and this is going to go off a little bit of rant, folks. So hang on, hold on your seatbelt. Because Haley Diggin, we need somebody in the Cup Series start winning. And these young guys were hyped up last year to Chase Elliott. And you might want to put Chase Elliott to the side, because now he started winning races a little bit. He won Talladega this year. And obviously, he went on a huge, big-time stretch last year after finally getting that Cup win at Watkins Glen there over Martin Truex Jr. We wanted somebody to win races, hyping up Blaney, Elliott, Eric Jones, Bo Wallace, these guys, Austin Dillon, these young guys. And now they're not winning. Not winning. We're not seeing that, but we're seeing something else in other NASCAR divisions where Haley Diggin and another girl, another girl that's supposed to be talented as well. I talked about it with our special guest, Brooke Store, last night. Which you will hear that interview this week as well. So be out and look out for that as well. Great conversation with Brooke last night during the end of the NASCAR Cup Series race. But you set out to do something, you got to do it. And you got the equipment to go out there and do. If you're in a position where you or seeing, or you're up front, or you're behind somebody, or you're in second or third spot, you want that opportunity to win the race, and Haley's doing it. That's just plain and simple. She's going out there winning races, And she right now, she's the package right now. And unfortunately, like I said, I don't remember who the other girl is right now. That's obviously hyped up as well. But right now, though, Haley Deegan, right now, she's a boss, man. that's all I gotta say, right? She a boss right now, doing it. And this is what NASCAR needs right now: somebody to step up, step out, do your job, go out there, just handle your business on the racetrack. That's what you gotta do. She's doing it. I have no problem with her knocking her teammate out of the way for a win. You're not playing nice with them. You can't do that, right? When you see the opportunity, you gotta go at it. I mean, we see too many niceness from some. I'm not gonna go call out people tonight. I've done enough of that. But this is what we want to see. We want to see aggressiveness on a racetrack. And I believe, in my opinion, I believe NASCAR is also missing that. And also, for a fact, as well, these last two races, this package, this missed the boat. I mean, you're watching guys in going around circles, struggling, passing and whatnot. I mean, yeah, you're only seeing about five cars able to pass. That's probably about it. And you're not fast enough. And now, reverting back to the Cup Series, you're going to have your hands full. I mean, we've seen some great racing up until the last 2 weeks. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm not telling what NASCAR to do, but I just don't know what to do. I mean, we're too deep. We're in the middle of the year now. And will they make changes? I don't know. I mean, they seem to do it, tweak something here and there during the season. But hey, this is what Cup Series guys got, and they just gotta deal with it and figure it out. I mean, you have a lot of smart people, men and women, in the garage area. Gotta figure out sooner or later. And of course, with I know the playoffs are this fall and whatnot, and Penske Racing has been the talk of the town, along with Joel Gibbs Racing, winning all these races this year. And of course, Penske Racing adds another trophy to the case there with Joey Logano's absolute dominant performance yesterday. So Penske has figured it out, obviously. So that don't bode well. Joel Gibbs Racing has figured it out. Stuart Haas is always fast, but they can't close the deal here. Motorsports seem to get it right, but their highest finisher was 10th. We've seen a bit glitz and pieces for Ganassi, Ross Funeral Racing, JTDG Doherty Racing. I might be forgetting another team off hand. I'm just rattling off teams, organizations. But hey, middle of the year, you have men and women in this garage that work for NASCAR. Y'all guys got to figure it out how to get the cars able to pass better. Mic drop. 3Y NASCAR podcast. Again, at EG3_fast88. And you can find a 3Y NASCAR podcast wherever you get your podcast. Once again, a giveaway at 50 ratings, 10 reviews. Get after it, Big D. Yeah, we're going to end it on that. Let's break this thing down. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap for the post-race reaction edition of the podcast. Again, my conversation with Brooke Storer. Be out on the lookout as well later on this week during Father's Day weekend. And hope everyone enjoys their Father's Day weekend as well. I will do the same as well. Well, with a shout out, a Father's Day shout out for my dad as well. So we doing that as well. So definitely looking forward to Father's Day weekend. So everyone have a fantastic Father's Day. Congratulations to the winners this weekend: Greg Biffle, Tyler Reddick, and Joey Logano. Winners this weekend from Texas and Michigan. And Joey Logano adds another win to the Penske Bank of 2019. I'm Eddie Gritter III. Thank you so much for listening to tonight's edition of the podcast. Iowa double dip at Iowa. Who will break through at Iowa this weekend? We out.
Thanks for listening to the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcasts: iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. We'll see you next time, going 3Y. 3Y.